Welcome, friends, to the God Friended Me podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Good day, Pete.
Good day, Matt. Good day, everybody. Here today to talk the God Friended Me podcast by Fantastic Geek for episode 104, error code 1.61.
This episode was directed by series producer and pilot director Marco Siega and written by Allison Moore. This is the first new episode since the series was renewed for a full season, rumored to be 20 episodes.
Now, wait a second, Matt. I distinctly saw a video with series star Brandon Michael Hall saying into the camera on social media, "We got the back nine." So did they have 13 episodes already and now they're at 22?
Well, all I know is this, Pete. Deadline had in its article about a bunch of CBS pickups, it said that God Friend of Me has received the pickup for about seven more episodes. So whether they're hedging their info or whether it still is in flux or whether that was older news and our dear series star has the most up-to-date information, I don't know. Maybe somebody up there is listening to us and can answer our call. What has CBS definitely ordered this time? I'll say this, though, Pete. For the episode we're about to discuss, viewers have responded with a resounding 1.3 rating and 9.2 million viewers. This a full-season pickup that is well-deserved.
Good news, indeed. But let's take a stroll through our eightfold path to enlightenment about this episode. Miles' father no longer appreciates the joy of sax since he can't play Stardust for his late wife anymore and wants to donate the once beloved instrument.
Identity Seal's computers give an error code of 1.61. Meanwhile, the God account wants Miles to be friends with the Hayden Planetarium. Quick, everyone drop everything and go to the planetarium.
Why are they there? Who can they help? Miles and Kara zero in on the hapless Fliss, while Rakesh and Jaya think the God account wants them to take the tour relating, gasp, Fibonacci and the universe.
Miles and Kara find Fliss is in the big crazy city looking for love. A 19-year-old Liszt has brought her there, and she's finally left Nebraska to strike out on her own. Fliss wonders if Kara is on her own or with Miles. Kara says she's definitely not with Miles.
Rakesh and Jaya come across a Beaker, the planetarium tour guide who is looking for a lost star. There may be a problem with the code and Rakesh is on the case to fix it. Or he's broken it. Like the busted sax Miles' dad dropped off, but Miles paid to repair.
Twist, Fliss's lost love is Beaker, a.k.a. Jim Smith. Miles and Kara narrowly miss Rakesh and Jaya in a series of New York City locations, including the lovely fountains at Lincoln Center.
Finally, at the planetarium, Fliss and Jim meet, love found. But in a moment of sweet heartbreak, Jim is emotionally touched, but reveals that he's gay. Fliss takes it in stride. Maybe the love of a friend was what she needed to find a new direction in life. As for Jim's search, maybe the star has disappeared because it's a binary star, a pair there to help each other, just like Beaker and Fliss.
Speaking of pairs, will Miles and Kara stay apart? Will they, won't they? This time, they won't, as Miles is just about to ask Kara for more when she's interrupted by her ex, Eli, who'd love to get drinks with her next time. Miles and Allie return a restored saxophone to their father.
And now it's time to step into the confessional.
Pete, theory number one here. Which mission was it that the God account wanted to be followed, or was it both? Was it everything? What was it?
I think it's everything. At least I'm leaning towards everything.
Part of what I really liked about this episode was, you know, we're only four episodes in, of course. This is the fourth quote-unquote mission of the week sent by the God account. And I like that the show is willing to start to mix it up already. I think at this point, or at least before watching this episode, I had settled into the expectation of, you know, one person, one friend's suggestion, one mission to be solved. Maybe multiple friend suggestions like in the pilot, I don't know. But kind of the open-ended nature here, it just added an effervescence to say, oh, you know, there can be different quote-unquote assignments by the God account. There can be different ways that whatever this force is can be expressed for the power of good.
Well, I think this episode, largely about patterns, cries out for analysis at this point about patterns. First two episodes, both about friends suggested as people. Last two episodes, both about locations. Matt, am I 1.61-ing here or what?
You just might be, Pete, in the Fibonacci number, Fibonacci ratio. I must confess, I don't think most math people call the Fibonacci ratio. I think there might be a bit of a portmanteauing going on with the Fibonacci sequence / Fibonacci number along with the golden ratio. But Pete, they're all mathematically hashtag connected. I know this. I feel like the way this plot unfolded for this episode, the way this mysterious connection, the trip to the Hayden Planetarium with its two missions that then become one, it really tugged at my heartstrings in a way that the others have not. I've enjoyed the other episodes, but this one just really landed for me.
It's not that this one didn't work for me. I just found last week's a little bit more emotionally compelling. That being said, I really appreciated that they zagged when we thought they were going to zig, bringing Fliss and Beaker together there. Love all right in the world. And then that it can't happen, obviously, because he's gay. But it's not that they can't have another sort of love. They're clearly friendly with one another. She's looking for new direction in her life. And who's to say that she doesn't meet the man of her dreams through Jim? So I really appreciated the unpredictability of that.
And to me, I think that was the key of the episode, not just in terms of the general plotting of it, but it would have been so easy to be like, and the two lovers find each other. And honestly, Pete, you have made me aware as we watch various things, particularly when we go to the movies, you'll say, oh, I saw you checking your watch. You know, that's usually me trying to divine something out of the pacing. It was only because of when the quote-unquote happy couple was reunited, at that point in the episode with 7 minutes to go, where I said, oh, there's going to be something else here. There's going to be another twist. If not for that bit of timing, I would have completely been swept away and surprised by that twist that they had. I give credit, though, you mentioned zigging and zagging. I give credit to the fact that she doesn't then become an emotional mess. It's not a loose end for her. It's like, oh, well, this has nonetheless been a positive force in my life. Let me continue this positivity.
And I think in terms of the actress who was playing Fliss, Annalee Ashford, they really nailed a happy-go-lucky, you know, Nebraskan type of girl who would be stuck enough in her rut to mix it up and try to, you know, find the man of her dreams here. And even daunted in that, is prepared to move. And she's got some footing now. She knows what New York is about. She's got her friend in Jim. And she can start over. And you know, if anything, the hopefulness that this show has really kindled on a week-to-week basis, again, at a time where it seems we need it the most, has been so incredibly welcome.
I think you hit the nail on the head with this story, which is just that you get the happy ending, even though it's not the ending that Fliss wanted. And A, just we as the audience, you know, relaxing on our couches, were delivered a happy ending nonetheless. But if you want to look for a bit more meaning, it's, hey, find the happiness in the way things turn out, even if it's not what you wanted. Find what that happinesses that it can create.
One other from me, Matt, the woman that Miles' father went to the music store to donate the saxophone. There a little something more there than just a lady to leave a saxophone with?
Had you asked me at the start of the show, the start of the series, I would have said, no, people are going to stay in their clearly defined lanes here. But as we said before, this is a story that's a little unconventional. This is a climax to the story that's a little unconventional. And then we've spoken in past weeks about the Miles and Kara, will they or won't they? The fact that the show is kind of keeping it still a question as opposed to, do you see the story arc? Look, we're doing a story arc. Do you see the well-developed story arc? It's because we're writers. You can see there's a story arc. Instead, it's just kind of like a really natural, realistic, slow progression of things. Would I rule it out that that Reverend Dad might find that, you know, in his heart that it's time to look for some love as opposed to, no, Reverend Dad, stay in your lane. You are here to give support and contrast to the main characters. Pete, I think he could grow in that direction as an organic character.
Well, Matt, error code 1.61, Mega Millions up to 1.61 billion? What? But you know what? We don't need that much to run Fantastic Geek. Thanks to the good people who head over to patreon.com/Fantastic Geek.
Pete, they are our team, our identity seal, except the Patreon computers don't go down. They're for you. They're there for you 24/7. And of course, the community supporting us, helping us get our thoughts out there, get to interact with new fans, new listeners for Godfriend and me. And it's all one big happy circle.
Everybody who contributes gets access to exclusive podcast content. And then they can pick their rewards from there. So thank you again, one and all, for checking it out. What are people saying on the horn?
Pete, what do you have on Facebook about this show where God is working through Facebook?
Jeff Roney writes in, love of the podcast, gents. I wanted to give you some general thoughts in regards to the show. It is interesting to realize that when the God account gets involved with Miles, that it turns his life upside down to change him, similar to how Miles wanted to change the world's belief in God. Also, the good changes that TGA, that's the God account, Matt, for the cool kids.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Okay. TGA guides him through, changes him from the inside out without preaching at him via Miles' father, for instance. One last thing, Miles has been tempted to take different paths at many points in the show. The biggest moment was to take his podcast to the frequency company, but he chose wisely and backed away from the full atheist stance to be open to listen and start the conversation with those that believe in more than the physical world.
And I think it's that flexibility that really is the hallmark of this episode. And I don't mean to kind of go back over stuff we've already covered, but that mentality that Miles above all has when they go to the planetarium, that's like, I don't know, let's find whatever this thing is. And Rakesh is taking things, I'll say, a bit more literally, although if the mysterious God account sends you a Fibonacci hint and then you see there's a Fibonacci tour, Rakesh clearly not, you know, not way off base. But it's that open-mindedness that Miles brings that I think is perhaps the largest lesson of the episode, to just approach whatever that new twist is with that open mind and let, I don't know, let the universe, let God, let the other person, let, you know, whatever that other factor is that is not oneself, let that guide where things go in concert with your hopes, your dreams, your direction, your input, whatever it might be.
And vis-a-vis the uncertainty in this episode, showing up at the planetarium, do we go on the Fibonacci thing? Is that it? Do we help this lady who's fallen all over herself? The free will that's going on, that's been showcased throughout the series, I think has been an interesting aspect rather than being forced into situations. So, yeah, pretty good point there, Jeff. Thank you for making that.
Pete, this also an episode about rejecting labels. You know, there's a certain kind of heterosexual label imposed upon Jim by Fliss. That's not the case. We also have Jaya, who's, you know, in dialogue saying labels kind of ruin things, and she's rejecting that. Also, Miles and Kara exactly figuring out what the label is for their relationship. We have a label on Twitter, Pete, at least when it comes to God Friend and Me, hashtag. Well, why don't you explain what it is, Pete?
That is hashtag God Pod Squad, as we are your God Pod Squad here, Fantastic Geek, walking you through, talking you through each episode, each week, but having that conversation so important for us. I had tweeted shortly after we found out when the time of the episode had changed. I mean, darn it, Matt, that football game was on pace to end before 7 o'clock and ended almost 7:30. Before then 60 Minutes comes on and everything backed up. So the show didn't hit on our airwaves over here on the East Coast, about 62 miles from Manhattan, until 8:37 p.m. So I tweeted with the update there after CBS had confirmed. Join your hashtag GodPod Squad at Fantastic Geek to live tweet God Friend and Me at 8:37 p.m. To which Peter, that's at tweet Scala, S-C-A-L-A, replied, "I will be. I can't wait." And Peter had also expressed some interest in terms of when we would record and drop the podcast.
Well, Monday afternoons, Monday evenings, given that 24 hours to kind of settle, to reflect, and that's when we record it. Pete, one more tweet out of me from Jackie J. Love. That's at lovely_latina25. I love and live for God Friended Me. Everything about the show, and every time I see a new episode, I get a tear in my eye and just love it. Don't find many shows that catch my attention, but this one caught it on sight. Pete, the God Friended Me account had sent out the question last night, about halfway through the episode: what are your favorite places in NYC? A lot of great discussion on there, Central Park and ice skating, any New York restaurant, Central Park, Empire State Building, even Yankee Stadium, somebody said.
City Field, maybe.
There you go.
How about the Jacob K. Javits Center, New York Comic Con in the house?
Absolutely. I know I really liked the episode's use of the fountains at Lincoln Center. I mean, as part of it, a Ghostbusters connection for anybody who has seen Ghostbusters 10,000 times. Sure, but it's just a lovely location on its own, and they were blessed, maybe coincidentally, maybe not, to have this wonderfully sunny day. And then the way the show was directed by Marco Siega, and just the way the light was captured and the beauty there, really, really sold Lincoln Center as just an amazing location to film at.
Absolutely. I spent the year I did my graduate degree at Columbia University in Manhattan, and between Lincoln Center and up at Columbia and Harlem and all the places in between, just a wonderful, wonderful city. It's so great that they actually film there. And, you know, on the Twitter, though, Matt, I think, you know, we can't get complacent, the viewers of this show. Twitter is so important in terms of the dialogue of a show, the interactions that go on. The world is really flat when it comes to that. So if you're on Twitter and you're listening and you can fire off a couple with the God Friended Me hashtag during the show, you really do help it out. Let's pretend that just because they've gotten the full season pickup that, you know, this show is safe. You have to constantly support these. So let them know you're out there. Let them know you're listening. And yeah, live tweet along with us each and every episode.
All about keeping that discussion going for the show. Pete, how can people be in touch with you?
You can find me on Twitter at Peter, P-I-E-T-E-R-J, Ketelaar, K-E-T-E-L-A-A-R, 10,117 followers. Can't be wrong.
And while I'm personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost, do be in touch with the podcast. Comment on fantasticgeek.com. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, and of course, Gmail at Fantastic Geek as well. But wait, Pete, there's more.
Facebook.com/FantasticGeek with the PH, all one word. Like it today. We'll friend you back.
For those listening on the Pop Culture Podcast feed, we will be back in a couple days' time to continue the podcast season 3 of Daredevil, keeping it in New York, as we have noted before. If you're listening on the Godfriended Me feed, we, of course, will be back Monday to do more Godfriended Me. Worth mentioning, Pete, that as far as can be seen on that mysterious, ethereal thing called the network schedule, the show is definitely airing episodes through November 11th. That's episode 107. Tentatively the 18th, although nothing official there. So nice big chunk here up front. To think, Pete, potentially we get to Thanksgiving and we are one third through the first season here. That's almost like gulp. Wait, hold on. This is too good. I'm having too much happiness on Sundays. You got to slow down with these episodes.
Yeah, and we've been there with some other shows. So again, don't get complacent. Watch these shows. Watch them live. Recruit other people to watch them. Tweet about them. Okay. Get everything you can behind these if you want to continue to see more of them. That's the way Hollywood works these days.
Yeah, Pete, though we are only 4 episodes in, I mean, before you know it, it's going to be just like that. And we're going to be saying, oh man, Pete, it's 4 months, 3 months, 2 months until CBS has its upfront meeting. You know, hashtag renew GodFriendedMe, GFM season 2, whatever that hashtag is going to be amongst our GodPod squad. So got to keep the positive pressure on by making sure those views are happening. But with that, Pete, it's time to wrap things up here. So I will say adios to all our listeners and give you the final word.
God calls each and every star by name. It's not likely he has forgotten yours.